From Texas Public Radio, this is Texas Matters, a weekly radio news magazine that looks at the issues, events, and people in the Lone Star State. Today on Texas Matters, the war against zombie voters. The state of Texas begins an aggressive purge of the voting rolls, but are the living being lumped in with the dead?
This is not going to prevent anybody from voting.
There seems to be a lot of people on that list that are probably alive.
And with all of the outrageous claims being made in this political season, send in the fact checkers.
We don't judge what people could have said or would have said. We just judge what they say.
Support for Texas Matters is provided by the Institute of Texan Cultures Made in Texas exhibit.
This is Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio. I'm David Martin Davies. You may have gotten a letter recently from your county elections administrator wanting to know if you're dead and if you plan to vote in the upcoming presidential election. It's part of a Texas Secretary of State's office effort to scrub the voter files of dead citizens, but an alarming number of the letters are reaching living voters, and some are wondering if this is part of an orchestrated effort to suppress the vote. The Texas Secretary of State's office says that's not so. They're just following the law. Rich Parsons is the spokesperson for the Texas Secretary of State's office.
Well, last session, the Texas legislature passed House Bill 174 unanimously, and the Department of Justice gave its approval of House Bill 174. So we are required now under that legislation to access the Social Security Administration's death master file to use in identifying deceased or possibly deceased registered voters in Texas. It's exactly the same process that has been in place for many, many years. The only new element, if you will, is integrating the death master file from the Social Security Administration into this process.
But you're getting some pushback from some county election administrators, particularly in Harris County, Mr. Sumner, who says he's not going to follow through with this purging that you're recommending. Is that right?
I can't speak for Mr. Sumner's. We've shared our concerns with Mr. Sumner's, and we all have a responsibility under state and federal law to maintain a clean and accurate voter registration list. And that's what this process is intended to do.
There's nothing you can do to force him to do so, to call upon the courts or attorney general or anything at all? It's all up to what the Harris County Tax Assessor Collector Dom Sumner decides to do?
Like I said, we've all got a duty, all of us, to maintain a clean and accurate voter registration list, and that's what we're trying to do, and we're working very closely with the counties to conduct that process.
Harris County Attorney Vince Ryan supports Sumner's, saying that this is outrageous, wrong, and unlawful to go forward with this purge.
Well, under the National Voter Registration Act, Texas is required to implement and maintain a systematic program that makes reasonable efforts to maintain that clean and accurate voter registration list. The program in place is the program that's been in place for decades, whereby the Bureau of Vital Statistics sends its data to the state, its data of deceased persons to the state to match up against the voter registration list. This process is now required by law to access the Social Security Administration's death master file. So that's the process and that's the law.
Some people are saying that you're taking the law and you're going further with it by sending out, 77,000 notifications that voters may be dead. And we're hearing back from voters saying, I ain't dead. I don't know where you get the idea that I'm dead. And if people don't respond, then they get taken off the voter rolls.
The way the process works is the death master file was matched against the voter registration list. In that process, approximately 77,000 matches were detected, some varying degrees of weak to strong. Those match notifications were then sent to the counties. And through this process, then the counties take those notifications, review them, determine if further investigation is necessary or if a verification letter is necessary to confirm a person's status, and those letters are sent out, then that voter would receive that letter and verify their status. If no action on a letter is taken, then the voter registration would be canceled, and if that person is not deceased and they go to vote, then their registration would immediately be reinstated, and they'd be permitted to cast a regular ballot. So this is not going to prevent anybody from voting. We don't know how many letters may have gone out. We provided notifications for approximately 77,000 matches to the counties, but that doesn't mean that's how many letters went out. Counties may have made a determination that some of these matches did not necessitate any action. There may have not been enough information to determine a voter was deceased or possibly deceased based on that match, and no action was taken.
So just because these names popped up on the list doesn't mean a letter was sent out and that someone was told that they may be dead?
That's correct.
And what about the people who have gotten those letters?
Then if someone receives that letter, they simply need to call their local voter registrar office and confirm their status, or sign their notice if there's a place to sign it there and send it back in. And quite frankly, if they don't, and they go to vote, they'll be reinstated and allowed to cast a regular ballot.
So when you walk up to the table to go vote and you say, hey, here's my voter registration card, I'm, you know, Joe Schmo, and they say, well, you're not on the list, Joe Schmo, you're dead. Is there a form they fill out, or is there a process? Is it quick and easy, or is this a deterrent to someone?
As I understand it, the poll worker would contact the voter registrar's office, and that person would be reinstated right there.
Rich Parsons is the spokesperson for the Texas Secretary of State's office. Residents who receive a dead voter letter will have 30 days to send the form back in. However, should they fail to do so, they will still be able to vote in the November 6th elections. But Harris County Tax Assessor Collector and Voter Registrar Don Summers says he's not going along with this. Summers announced he would not purge any of the contested names from the voter rolls, at least not until after the election.
Dave, the situation is I did mail the letters. I just have made the decision that I'm not going to remove anybody that doesn't respond from the voter roll before the presidential election.
And why did you decide to do that?
Because I don't think that the database that we received from the Secretary of State is very reliable in terms of matching up the potential deceased voters. I just had to make the decision, you know, as to what was most important, the ability for these people to go vote, or, you know, their removal because they might be deceased. And I came down on the side, I think, that it really anybody would come down on, that we can afford to wait until after the election before we start taking people off.
You're not alone in that. You're also getting a similar decision from the Dallas County Election Administrators, Tony Pippin Poole. So they're also following your lead and supporting you and saying let's not be too hasty, because they're afraid that the legitimate voters may show up to the polls on Election Day and be told that they're not eligible to vote. Is that the concern?
Well, actually, they'd be eligible to vote, but they would have to go through a special process to do that. And I know that since most of these potential deceased persons are elderly, that it's going to be confusing to them. And it's not going to be something really that even the election judge is going to want to have to deal with in a presidential election, where he's probably, he or she are probably already, you know, up to their eyeballs and people coming in to vote, and they don't need the process to be slowed down.
So on election day, if a person showed up to vote and they had gotten one of these letters and they hadn't responded, and had they been purged as a voter, it would not be an easy process to suddenly say, okay, we can fix that quickly with a phone call. On election day, it's pretty chaotic and there's a lot of delay.
Yeah, they'd be allowed to vote, but they would have to vote in a different manner, and they would have to, in effect, sign an affidavit that they are, you know, they are the person that they're claiming to be, and then that ballot would come separately from the normal process, and then be looked at by the ballot board before it would be accepted as a legitimate vote.
The concern is that there are dead people voting. I guess that means that there are people on the rolls who, and that someone is voting using their names as some sort of means of election fraud. Is that it?
Well, yeah. So that is the objective in cleaning up the rolls, is not to continue to have deceased persons on the voter roll for any period of time. And if these had been hard matched, other words, it was pretty much assured that they were in fact deceased, I wouldn't have taken that action. But there seems to be a lot of people on that list of 9,000 here in Harris County that are probably alive, and I just had to decide, you know, which way I would go. And I just decided that it would be better to wait until after the election. If these people vote in the election, then I still have the ability to go and find them. But I'm really not expecting too much of, you know, that kind of activity. I think it would be far worse to try to explain to people why their name no longer appeared on the roll.
The Secretary of State's office spokesperson said this is not new. This happens in every election that we purge the rolls. So is there a new element to this than we have?
Actually, this particular effort is new. Now, we're constantly taking deceased persons off the roll where we have a death certificate or an obituary that's, you know, in the paper.
But you said there is something new here. What is new?
There was a bill known as House Bill 174 passed in the 2011 legislative session, instructing the Secretary of State to do a quarterly comparison of the state's voter roll against the Social Security deceased persons database. And this is the first time that has been done.
And this is particularly aggressive in trying to weed out people who may possibly be dead off and get them off the rolls?
Well, it's just another effort to do it. It was the responsibility was assigned to the Secretary of State as opposed to the individual voter registrars around the state. But it is a new initiative, and this is the first time that it's happened. And I think most of the problem with this is the timing of it. That it's not a good time to go and take people off the rolls right before an election unless you have, you know, absolute evidence that they are deceased.
Critics of the Texas Secretary of State's office in doing this are assigning a sinister motive, saying that this is just another part of an effort to suppress the vote. Not unlike what's happened in Ohio, where there's court battles going back and forth about early voting times and changing of the voter registration rules in Texas and also the voter ID laws that are being challenged in the courts in Texas, that this is part of a battery of efforts to curb the vote in Texas. Now, do you believe in any of that?
Well, I think it may be part of an effort to have a valid, reliable voter roll. I don't think that there was any effort to target any one group of individuals. We actually, in Harris County, had one of our Republican judges receive this letter, and the assistant county attorney that represents our office got one of them. A number of notable Republicans have gotten the letter as well as the Democrats. So we know that it was done at the state level, but and it was strictly an analytical arithmetic type effort, and there wasn't any group singled out.
Sure, there are people who think, though, that the operatives who are behind these types of efforts would know that it would be a shotgun approach and hit people who are, Republican voters and who would be able to respond to these and make sure that they remain on the voter rolls. But then there are other voters who would maybe they're more Democrats, transitory, they don't get the letter, or they get the letter and they don't do anything about it. They just assume that they can't vote through the process, that there is a dampening on one side against another.
I can see how someone might, getting the letter, feel like that they can't vote. There were a couple of instances in the phone calls and communications to the office where the people thought that their name had already been removed from the voter roll, which is not correct. The letter didn't say that they had been removed from the voter roll. It said that they would be removed from the voter roll if they didn't respond.
Well, it sounds like you're going to have a very exciting November the 6th.
I think you're right. So I think it'll all come out okay in the end. It's just, I think it's an unfortunate situation with the timing.
Don Sumners is the Harris County Tax Assessor Collector and Voter Registrar. He's in a kerfuffle with the Texas Secretary of State's office about purging the voter rolls of dead voters. Sumners says the list from the state is unreliable, and it would be a better idea to clean up the list after the presidential election in November. The Texas Secretary of State's office says Sumners is violating the law. During the election season, it can become a confusing world of he said, she said political finger pointing. How do we know whose claims to believe? Everyday voters don't have the time to run down the facts on our own, so that's where a new breed of journalists step in, the fact checkers. They test the claims, they search the sources, and they rate the truth. But are fact checkers really the final word? Gardner Shelby is with PolitiFact Texas at the Austin American Statesman.
We have seen a bulge in interest in connection with the campaigns. That's a website as well as in articles that are printed in the American Statesman. And if you go to our site, you'll see that there are probably around a dozen different fact checks that arose out of the conventions, including several claims checked by your mayor, Julian Castro, who, of course, delivered the keynote at the Democratic National Convention.
You looked at Julian Castro's statements, quite a few of them, and it looks like he fared pretty well. I don't see anything that you labeled as pants on fire for Julian Castro, including one thing about Castro said Mitt Romney told university students in Ohio that to start a business, they should borrow money if they have to from your parents, and that was rated true. So how do you go about making sure that rates as true?
Well, you're correct. The mayor of San Antonio, Julian Castro, has gotten some considerable attention lately. We've done 7 fact checks of Mayor Castro, and one of them was the claim that he made in his keynote address that Mitt Romney told university students in Ohio that to start a business, they should borrow money if you have to from your parents. This was indeed something Romney said during a stop at a place called Otterbein University earlier this year. Our fact check simply involved finding, first of all, news accounts of that stop, and then second, transcribing his remarks from a YouTube video that was made by a reporter for an Ohio newspaper that day, and verifying that the remark was made and that it was made in context. The one thing we did wonder about as we looked at that remark is whether he was saying to the students, you should borrow either to go to college or to open a business. And helpfully, another news organization had already reached that conclusion that it was either one, but the Romney campaign subsequently clarified and said, no, he was only talking about borrowing to start a business. So Castro's claim shook out as true.
Yeah, but you do also point out that this was not a pillar of the Romney campaign. This was kind of a one-off statement that he made. You know, people on the campaign trail, they say dumb things all the time. I don't know how much hay you should make from a statement that you make one time on the campaign trail, and it's not a policy initiative.
Yeah, and that sounds like you're starting your own fact check, and that's great. Our judgment was that the San Antonio mayor said Romney said this. He didn't say Romney made it a central point of his campaign or that Romney was stumping all over the country saying this. In fact, he was pretty explicit in his statement. You remember this, of course. He said Mitt Romney advised Ohio students. So he was clearly signaling that this happened in Ohio, and he wasn't saying it happened more than once.
So that brings me to this next question about, do you think that politicians are learning how to survive the fact check by putting in the qualifiers, modifiers, so that they can be branded as true or mostly true? Like Gilberto Hinojosa, the chair of the Democratic Party of Texas, he said, and you fact check this, if Texas, California, and New York all voted for Democratic presidential nominees, it would be mathematically impossible for Republicans to elect a president. And of course, you labeled that as false because it's not mathematically impossible. There's still all the other states, and they've got plenty of electoral votes, right?
Correct. And we, in that instance, too, talked to a couple of folks who spent a lot of time thinking about the electoral map, and they, including a fellow who's a mathematician at the University of California, Berkeley, they both agreed it was when you leap to the phrase mathematically impossible, you're falling into the realm of nonsense.
Had he said virtually impossible,
that might have changed things. You know, we don't judge what people could have said or would have said. We just judge what they say.
Sure. So you take it at face value. You look exactly at the text and you look at that and not too concerned about, you know, I know what he was trying to say. He just didn't
Well, you know what? We do give people opportunities to clarify, elaborate, correct, backtrack, and things along those lines. In this instance, folk working for the chairman, for Chairman Hinojosa of the Texas Democratic Party, neither one of them backtracked. They both stuck by the chairman's wording.
Here's one. Hank Williams Jr., he's not a politician. He's pretty much a pobrecito kind of a guy these days. He comes out and says Barack Obama is a Muslim. And how do y'all treat that?
We took the – let me read you his whole statement. He said this in a concert in Fort Worth. That's why it landed in our basket, because we're PolitiFact Texas. He said at a concert September 2, quote, "We've got a Muslim for a president who hates cowboys, hates cowgirls, hates fishing, hates farming, loves gays, and we hate him." That entire statement is certainly ear-catching. The factual part of it, the factually checkable part of it, would be whether or not we've got a Muslim for a president. That is the only part of that statement that we ended up checking. And as you may know, PolitiFact has looked at this in different research units around the country several times since 2007, 2008, when it's just not so. It's so not so that we rated the claim not just false but ridiculous, pants on fire.
When we go to the polls in November in Texas, we will be picking a new U.S. senator, choosing between a Democrat Paul Sadler and Republican Ted Cruz. You truth-checked them Now, on Paul Sadler, you look at his statement that he made that Ted Cruz is unknown to the vast majority of Texans, and you came out with a mostly false on that. Explain that.
We read the statement as, and this is what he said. He said, the Republicans have nominated Ted Cruz, who is, quote, untested, untried, and unknown to the vast majority of Texans. Untested, untried, we granted, is certainly a judgment call and something to be debated when those individuals face each other. We wonder if it was accurate to say that he's also widely unknown. And we step back from that to look at polling information starting in the spring of 2012 through the campaign season. As you know, the Cruz David Dewhurst runoff was a not just a statewide Donnybrook, it drew national attention. More than $35 million were spent by the campaigns and outside groups all together. And during that time period, according to polling, Cruz's name ID, people who recognized him and knew who he was, surged past 50%. So that's how we looked at the issue. Now, the candidate, Paul Sadler, the Democrat, says, no. My point here was that people don't realize what he believes, and people don't realize that he's we don't know how he'll react in the legislative process. And we included that in our story.
Now, Ted Cruz did have a statement that you fact-checked. Says our national debt is greater than our gross domestic product. That seems like a pretty straightforward statement, but it's not when you go through the fact check process.
Thank you. Yeah, that was a Truthometer piece that looked at, and this is one of those where, and we completely appreciate it. The readers will say, "Well, wait a minute." This is one of those that does generate some wait a minute emails because on the raw numbers. Ted Cruz was correct that the total national debt of late is greater than the gross domestic product. However, as we look closer at this, we realize that the part of the debt that involves borrowing money from outside sources, the part that's tied directly to the economy, which is what think tanks tend to focus on and those who follow government closely keep a close eye on, that portion of the debt is not yet equal to the gross domestic product. That's why we rated this one half true.
Shows how complicated it can be, especially when it comes to talking about, these financial issues.
Well, I appreciate that. You're right.
You guys are playing an important role in the electoral process for people trying to figure out, is that statement credible or not? Particularly in this era when it seems like politicians are saying whatever they need to say just to get elected and lying about their opponents. And we're hearing back from we're not going to let fact checkers run my campaign.
You're correct. I believe that was a statement made by somebody connected to the Mitt Romney campaign during the Republican National Convention. We're not going to let fact checkers dictate this campaign or something to that effect. I don't think fact checkers want to run any campaigns.
Journalist Gardner Shelby is testing the words of Texas politicians at PolitiFact Texas, which can be found at the Austin American Statesman. That's it for this edition of Texas Matters. Thanks for listening. I'm David Martin Davies. We'd like to hear from you. You can send us an email to texasmatters@tpr.org. Past Texas Matters programs can be found on our website at tpr.org. And you can subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes. And tune in again next week for another edition of Texas Matters from Texas Public Radio.
Support for Texas Matters is provided by the Institute of Texan Cultures, putting the Lone Star State's people, products, and ideas known around the world on display with the exhibit Made in Texas, now open. More at texanscultures.com.